apologize for bringing up the case. The case is not so much about laws, it is about grade school arithmetic. This case hinges on prior art study errors, which shows prior art use of Ramipril increased the rate of stroke in that patient population from 1.73 per 100 to 2.49. And it was
a good statistical methodology that you would find.
Exactly. And so what they are cautioning, the authors there, caution, and the closing counsel correctly notes this, the authors there caution that even though they found it in their study, they in fact found that Ramipril increased stroke, that future researchers and future studies may or may not be able to replicate that. In a way, the research is as if the science
they didn't know whether it would work or wouldn't work or cause a problem.
What they said that in their study, it undoubtedly did. They measured that. They said their study was as if they were reaching into they couldn't see all the a can full of colored ping pong balls. They don't know what the colors of the ping pong balls are. They reach in, they pull out one. The ping pong ball is a bright red. Caution, causes stroke. But the authors there, they say, hey, we only pulled out one ping pong ball. The can is full. The can
is full.
Yes.
There are a bunch of references here that all seem to circle around the claims.
Yes.
And give it a high standard review with respect to patent office determination of what the references teach.
Yes, sir.
You want to talk about the references? Tell us why they don't apparently disclose what's described in the claims.
Well, error first. Says we gave Ramipril to a certain group of patients, and in that certain group of patients, Ramipril in fact increased the rate of stroke.
Yes. There's no dispute that hypertension is a risk factor for stroke.
Correct.
Have you identified any other things that you can do to prevent stroke? I mean, your claim is treatment or prevention of stroke. Aside from limiting or diminishing high blood pressure, what is there?
There's stop smoking, alcohol, obesity.
But your claim would clearly cover reducing hypertension in order to reduce the risk of stroke, which is under your claim, which includes prevention, correct?
Yes.
So you would read on the use of the same drug to just for hypertension.
This drug, before our scientists did their work, this drug was actually not used in patients that were at risk of stroke because hypertension has a risk, it causes a risk of heart attack, a risk of kidney failure, a risk of eye damage. There's lots of bad things that come about from hypertension. In addition to giving a high risk of stroke, and so what physicians would do is, the patient came in that had hypertension and they're at risk of a heart attack, but not really at risk of stroke. They weren't a smoker, for example. The physician would give them Ramipril. If the physician thought the patient was at risk of stroke, they would not give them Ramipril. They'd give them a diuretic or a beta blocker.
So your invention would not cover the administration of this drug for hypertension, because even though you say it's a risk factor for stroke, that somehow is not included in the claim.
Our claims require the patient to be diagnosed as a risk of stroke because those are the kinds of patients that were avoided.
I thought you acknowledged that would include people who.
Hypertension is one of the risk factors.
Right, so it could then. It's one, it may not be the only one, but
exactly.
It is one of them.
Yes.
So
yes.
Would it or would it not include people who are taking the drug to reduce hypertension because that is a risk factor for stroke?
Apparently the physicians back before these inventors published their work, physicians would, not based on hypertension alone, they would use the patient's weight. There are, a number of
the description of what happened. I think the question was, would medicine go for hypertension?
If it were for a patient who is diagnosed with the risk of stroke, yes.
Well, doesn't Crampton do exactly that?
I mean, it treats it, doesn't it, forget whether it's a stroke or not, but it's used Ramipro is used to treat hypertension in Crampton.
Yes, and Ramipro says that Ramipro is, Ramipro summarized there. Crampton says Ramipro is used to treat hypertension. It, in fact, reduced the all-over risk of death from any cause. What Crampton doesn't say is that Ramipro will reduce the risk of stroke.
Well, that's what he's got. I mean, that's why we have a well-intentioned location.
Well, this is the Crampton simply is summarizing error, and Crampton says the AIRE study.
Well, I think that's a little different.
Yes, yes.
Okay. Well, that's exactly what I thought you acknowledged, at least a piece of your claim covers, which is using Ramipro to treat hypertension because that has an increased risk of stroke. You mentioned there's smokers and other people that have treated, but that would at least be one group of takers of Ramipro that you say you acknowledge would be covered by your claim, right?
Yes.
Isn't that a problem?
Neither Crampton nor Ayer appear to have given or recommended use of Ramipro for patients that were identified as being at risk of stroke.
So Ayer showed an increase in stroke.
Yes.
Almost would question the operability of the claims.
Exactly.
I'm not sure whether it's in the record or not.
Appendix 825.
Is this drug approved for prevention of stroke?
Yes, I believe it is now.
Why do you I'm not clear, maybe this is a legal question or a fact question. Why do you need prior reference stroke? I mean, you've got the Paracom case and various of our cases, and they are sunscreened and you used it before. You didn't necessarily, the result of it, now you use it to prevent sunburn, and we've said that's a problem. If the prior art recognized that Ramipro was useful or used Ramipro to treat hypertension, and you acknowledge that hypertension is one of several things that you will treat in order to reduce the risk of stroke, in other words, that's precisely what's in your claim, I'm not sure why, at least in the absence of excluding the use of hypertension, you can survive an inherent anticipation.
Because in the set of patients that have hypertension, some of them are, physicians say, you're at high risk of stroke. You know, there's a set of patients that have hypertension. Many of them are not really at that. That stroke is some risk, but apparently not really elevated. It's more risk of kidney failure or a heart attack. And for those patients, the physicians say, take one of this class of drug. For the in that same set of hypertensive patients, there is a subset that is particularly at risk of stroke. Smokers, for example. And for a smoker, the physician would say, because you don't just have hypertension, you also smoke, you have very high danger of getting a stroke. Therefore, I'm not going to give you one of these drugs.
Maybe it's a factual issue, but I thought the board found, and I thought you conceded, first question, that hypertension is recognized, and you would agree, is a risk factor for stroke. I'm not saying that hypertension is only a risk factor for smokers, but not for non-smokers?
Hypertension is one of the risk factors for stroke. If you look at the, in fact, being alive is a risk factor for stroke. The four of us sitting here today, we don't have hypertension, I could drop dead. Well, no, because the doctor didn't say, Mr. Paul, you're at risk of stroke. So having not been sort of pointed out as having that, I wouldn't be concerned.
What about Hope? I mean, how is Hope different from this?
Hope.
I mean, you say they hadn't done the clinical trials, but you didn't done the clinical trials either at the time of the application, correct?
Yes, and hope is it a very good idea. What hope did?
Well, I think why is it different in any way from hope? Because they contemplate doing clinical trials, but they contemplate doing clinical trials.
Exactly.
Why is it exactly the same? Couldn't the hope people have gotten that based on the prior art references here? Could they have applied common patent just as you could have?
Yes, they could have.
How could it not be anticipatory if they, based on that reference, could have gotten patent for the same thing?
Because remember our can with the colored ping pong balls in there? Hope is saying, hey, we only reached in once and pulled out one red ping pong ball. We don't think that's
not fair answer that Hope didn't disclose anything but a plan, didn't disclose any activity that inherently inhibited stroke?
Yes.
And isn't it a further answer that it's a different story to have a constructive reduction of practice that enables you to get a patent?
Yes.
You wanted to save some time. You wanted to save 10 minutes, actually.
Yes.
You can continue to talk or save the
reserve. Thank you very much.
Mr. White.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. I think it's clear at this point that Montgomery's claims cover administering Ramipril to patients who are diagnosed as in need of the treatment or prevention of stroke, and that Ramipril was in fact administered to patients with hypertension, which is a risk factor for stroke, so those patients were in fact diagnosed as in need of such treatment. And that treatment, when given to those patients, inherently anticipated.
Not necessarily in need of stroke prevention?
Well, at least, at an absolute minimum, the patient is hoped.
Doctors don't prescribe based on drugs, based on casual possibilities.
That's correct, Your Honor.
These aren't necessarily, there isn't a description of the treatment of patients with stroke or likely to suffer stroke.
Well, actually, one of the factors for allowing people into the Hope study was that the patients had suffered a previous
stroke. That's a plan. We're talking about inherency here.
Well,
not anticipation.
That's correct, Your Honor. But the Hope study did, in fact, designate some of the 9,541 patients that it selected were selected because they previously had a stroke. And all of those patients were given at least 7 to 10 days worth of Ramipril during the run-in phase of It was a determined tolerance, but Hope further states that all 9,541 patients had been randomized as of the date it was published. And at randomization, all those patients started taking the Ramipril doses. They were given that.
To prevent stroke, tolerance of the drug.
To prevent stroke. They were given, as of the time that Hope was published, the study had been underway for at least a month for all 9,541 patients. And I think it's somewhat clear from Hope that not all of them started in January before the article was published. Some of them had started months before, so some of them had been given possibly for up to a year. All of them had been getting the drug to determine for treating stroke for at least 1 month as of the time that Hope was published.
And where is that state of the Hope?
It's at
stroke. If that's true, then we don't even need it. Inherency.
Well, to be clear, they hadn't recognized that it was effective for doing that yet. And so it's not clear as of the time that this first Hope publication was published that it was enabled for doing that because they didn't know whether it worked or not. The later Hope publication, which we refer to in our brief, indicates what their result was. The result was that Ramipril is effective.
And it's prior art?
It's not prior art, but as this court's decision in Bristol-Myers said, for determining enablement, when you look at a reference that is not prior art, to show whether a prior art reference was in fact enabled.
They're not citing the subsequent Hope reference for enabling purposes. They're citing it as description of the invention, or at least for inherency purposes.
We're showing that it did in fact work, and therefore that when Hope was administered, when you Hope patients were administered the drug for the period they were inherently being treated, the Hope, admittedly, the Hope study providers were not aware when they were doing the drug that it would be in fact the effect of the person.
So I'm sorry, in metabolite, our court says an invitation to investigate is not an appearance disclosure.
That's correct.
If you did not at the time the other side filed this application, there had been no conclusions reached as to the effectiveness. Didn't it remain, at least at that time, simply an invitation to investigate rather than
Well, with respect, I don't think it was an invitation to investigate. It was saying, we are investigating. Our investigation has begun. We'll tell you our results in a few years. And that's what this court's decision in Bristol-Myers and Lucifer-Sprout said. That is, in fact, inherently anticipatory. Even if you don't recognize the result at the time that you're making this disclosure, you are declaring to the world that you are doing this for this purpose, and we'll let you know if it works. If it does work, in fact, then it will be inherently anticipatory.
Did Montgomery itself have any studies in the application?
No, there are no studies as well as in the specification. If there are no further questions, I'll give you a little bit more
time. All right. Well, thank you for a lot of time.
Just two quick notes. Montgomery does have studies in the application, both in vivo and in vitro. In the lab and also human beings.
Well, you said they have improved indication.
Yes.
So
yes.
Necessarily they must have had studies.
Yes. And the whole idea.
The approval came after the application.
The approval came after the application, and about 2.5 to 3 years ago, the examiner raised this whole question of enablement and said, I don't think intervention works. And we went back.
Had they completed the studies at the time of Montgomery indication?
For about 3 years ago, yes. I believe those studies were completed. Like then, because what we did.
Or did the application say the studies then?
No, the studies are not completed by the time we file our priority filing. The studies are completed as of 2 or 3 years ago when we filed the Rule 132 declaration with all that.
Isn't it correct that clinical studies are rarely completed by the time of patent application?
It's almost never, because you. We have to, the Supreme Court says we have to file our application when we have the concrete idea.
Right, but then it becomes difficult for you to distinguish Hope on the ground that they haven't completed their studies. If you've completed your own studies by the fire.
Hope had no idea that their studies were, which way their studies were going to go. They say we're going to check for whether we prevent or cure stroke, heart attack. To have a laundry list of 14 different things. Depression, the hostile behavior was one of her things we're going to look for. If you give a person Remicol, would they become more or less hostile? They had no idea how many of these things would come out. Our inventors, in contrast, kind of went down and actually looked at the cellular mechanism of how these drugs work in a patient's cells. And they said, we've done that a little bit of human clinical studies to verify it based on this. Understanding the cellular mechanism, we can use a fair amount of confidence, predict that we'll have a good result in the end. The difference is Hope and our inventors, in effect, had a very similar idea. It's just Hope proposed a years long.
Sounds like you basically agree with the fact that Hope proposed studies doesn't distinguish it from Montgomery's application.
I'm not sure I understand the question. Practice. It is on Thank you, Marty. Thank you.